is everybody doing today? Welcome back here today to another episode of the Just Ballin' Podcast. We have a very fun topic that I'm going to talk with you guys for maybe the next half an hour or so. It's a video I did recently on the Strauss channel, and it is predicting the top 20 players in the NBA in 5 years from now. So basically, we're going to be trying to predict the best players in the 2029 season here in 2024. If you guys enjoy this style of content, maybe talking in a podcast format, let me know by maybe just either letting me know on Twitter, dropping a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or you can let me know in the comments on YouTube. Maybe just hit that like button as well. I think it's fun to really dissect things a little bit more and can kind of just, go a little bit more unedited and kind of just be able to talk a little bit more in my mind than like what a typical YouTube video would look like, basically. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, obviously there's a YouTube channel where you can get the visual of me. Probably just have like the number and the player. And I'll try to remember to do timestamps as well for the YouTube video version, because I know that will be helpful when I'm doing rankings or either just talking about different topics in general. So I do have a ton of honorable mentions, and I took in a lot of your guys' feedback from that YouTube video as well. Obviously, there's going to be plenty of comments in any ranking video, let alone one me trying to predict the future. So top 20 players in 5 years from now. And the reason why I like doing these is because I enjoy looking back and reacting to this type of stuff, because I think it's also cool to try to predict the top 20 players in the league in 5 years from now. But I've been doing this every single year since, I think, quarantine. So basically, we're going to be running up each year. I can react to what I did 5 years ago. So I did one in 2020, or kind of like 2019. So that will be able to, I can look at in 2025. I think it was 2020. So 2025, I can look at that. I did one in 2021 for 26, 22 for 27, so on and so on. So this year, I just recently did in the YouTube video for 2029 that I don't know if I'll still be doing this in 5 years, but if I am, I'll definitely be reacting to it. And then I got in like a lot of you guys' feedback as well. We're fully back into swing of things for the second half of the NBA season, which obviously has been great. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, a lot of you guys ask about this tidbit. It's called a tidbit. It's T-I-D-B-Y-T. I did not think a lot of you guys would be like, that's like the thing you're focusing on the most of the times. It's pretty cool. Like, there's different scores, standings that you can have up for basically every major sport league. I think there's even like Formula One and random stuff like that outside of like the major four sport leagues. So it's pretty cool because it'll just kind of cycle through the NBA standings, scores, like going on right now. I don't know if you'll see it. I'm recording this during the Bucks Sixers game. It's kind of a blowout. So it's going to be funny if that like pops up right there on that. And if obviously you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I appreciate that a ton. Trying to grow it a little bit more over there. And hopefully this can be a nice podcast that you can listen to either driving, if you're, I don't know, working out, if you're on a walk, if you're going to work or school or anything like that. So there's so many honorable mentions that can go into this as well, which I'll kind of just rattle off like the first guys that didn't make it. So I have Chet Holmgren, who didn't make it. My reasoning for Chet was like, in 5 years, do I think he'd be better than Bam Adebayo right now? And I think at times Bam flirts with being a top 20 player in this league. But he's never been like a staple top 20 guy. So I was like, I don't know if Chet will be better than Bam is right now in 5 years. Maybe he will be, because he's been incredible in just his rookie season. But I thought he would be like one of the first guys out. I didn't think he was going to be a lock for a top 20 guy. So he wasn't in here. LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller did not make the list either. LaMelo will be 27. Miller will be 26. I don't really know who's going to be the number one in Charlotte in 5 years from now. I don't know if I would bet money that LaMelo is still in Charlotte. I think Brandon Miller would definitely still be in Charlotte. I have no idea how LaMelo Ball's career is going to look over the next 5 years. He's had his injuries. He hasn't obviously won much in Charlotte when he's on the floor, and maybe they're going in a different direction, but I assume LaMelo would be on the team, but I didn't know for sure. Zion Williamson, 28 years old. I mean, it's really about the injuries with Zion. Will he be consistently healthy? We're like, all right, he's a top 20 guy in this league. Will he be a playoff riser? We'll see like a playoff run that we saw at one point from like Anthony Edwards last year. Even though it was only in five games, he really emerged as like, okay, this guy could be a for real playoff like impactor, like top in the league. Will Zion become that? I'm not sure. I had Tyrese Maxey, who's 28 years old. I just don't know how he'll be in 5 years. I don't know if it will be with Embiid. I also don't have Embiid in this either. I believe Embiid's going to be around 33, 34, 35. With injuries and Embiid, I also didn't want to put him in this top 20. So Maxey and Embiid not in here. Trae Young, he'll be 30. Didn't have him here. It's looking like he will not be in Atlanta, but I just wondered, will he be able to be a one or two on a championship team? Will the defense always hold him back from being like a for sure top 20 guy? Will he always be in that 20 to 25 range because of the defense? Lauri Markkanen, he'll be 31. I think I wanted to mention him, but I wouldn't really think he was going to be in there as well. Evan Mobley was a tough one, 27 years old. It's been very raw for him on the offensive side of the ball. He never looks kind of confident sometimes. I got to see him in person up close on Friday night, Sixers-Cavs. And the Sixers front court was Mo Bamba and Bebo Paul throughout that game. So it's not like he was going up against any elite rim protectors. It's a weird fit with him and Jared Allen. And they both could still be that front court in 5 years. I just wonder, I think Mobley's defense will be really good. And say it's Rudy Gobert level defense in 5 years, will the offense be enough where it's a top 20? Because Gobert, I think like at his peak, was a top 20 guy, but it wasn't for a long amount of time. And I don't think he is one now, even though he's probably going to win another deep boy. So that is all my honorable mentions that are in the NBA. I did want to throw in Cooper Flagg, who's currently at Montverde Academy. He's going to be the number one, he is the number one prospect going into college next year, going to Duke. There's a chance. I mean, he'll be 22. That's a crapshoot at that point, trying to figure that out. And AJ DeBanta, who I believe is the class below him, he will be in the 2026 draft with Cameron Boozer. Cameron Boozer, the son of Carlos Boozer. Those are like kind of the 1A, 1B prospects going into that. I wanted to throw him in there just because I think it's cool to throw in non-NBA guys. And I don't really think there's anybody from this draft class either. So I didn't put in Alex Solar, Cody Williams, Nikola Topic, Zachary Sachet. I don't think any of those guys will be top 20 in the league. Maybe somebody does emerge. Maybe it's Jacoby Walter. Maybe it's Rob Dillingham. It could be one of those guys. But I think to play it safe, I did not throw anybody from this 2024 draft, which is kind of a down year, but it's still a fun draft nonetheless. So start off at number 20. We do have, I messed this up completely. I did mess this up completely. So, I think I had Trae Young written down, but I didn't mean to have Trae Young written down before. So I actually do have Trae Young. If I'm looking at this correctly, what did I just do here? So, I do have, Trae Young is at 19. So ignore that honorable mention and I'm spoiling that there, but I had Jalen Brunson at 20 because I think Jalen Brunson is a top 20 guy this year. He's in his prime ish. I think he still will be towards the end of it. 32, he's not the quickest guy on the floor. Yes, he does rely on his agility and his elusiveness with the ball in his hands. That could take a little bit of a step back, but 32 is not old enough where I'm like, okay, he's going to be washed completely. That could come at 34-ish, 33, 34. I think he'll be in the back end of his like really good years. And if the Knicks continue to build around him, I think he'll still be in this conversation for the next five seasons because Randall and Anobi, DiVincenzo, Hart, Mitchell Robinson, they're all complimentary pieces to him right now. But I assume the Knicks would probably want Brunson to be a number two by then. So that was kind of the thing holding me back. So if you wanted to throw him in the honorable mentions, I was good with that. But I think he was warrant of being here and probably a Knicks bias for me. And I think he's already in his prime right now, so it'll help a little bit than guys that aren't yet. But like you could be like, man, Maxey's almost as good as Brunson, and he's like 4 years younger. So I totally get that. I did have Trae Young at 19. I forgot I ended up taking out Evan Mobley and putting in Trae Young. So yeah, Trae Young is not an honorable mention. I did have him here. I guess same things apply before. Like, will the defense, will he be number one or two, can also hold him back from being guaranteed in this top 20. And I think that could also be a thing with Brunson as well. We'll see how the Knicks are in the playoffs this year. If they are fully healthy, this team has no excuse not to win at least one playoff series, and it would be honestly a disappointing year if they don't win in round two either. So I think Brunson and Trae Young could have a lot of similarities that could be holding them back from a guaranteed top 20 spot, but I think Trae probably has a little bit of a better chance because if you look at Trae's like stats over the course of his career, they're kind of insane. He's like averaging like 25 and 10 basically over the course of like every year. I mean, that actually might be of his career. I'm just going to pull it up because I know he averaged 20 points as a rookie, which holds it back a little bit. But he's like a consistent 20, like 7 and 10 guy throughout his career. His career is 25 and 9 and a half. 25 points, 9 and a half assists, which is kind of insane. He's in year 6, which is making me feel a little bit old. Crazy, he also averaged 29 points as a sophomore. But yeah, the defense, will he have a high enough ceiling at his peak? And he will be probably at the peak of his career in 2029 as well because he will be, I believe, 28 or 30 years old. I think he'll be 30, right? No way he's 23 right now. So he'll be 30. So coming in at 18, I got Scottie Barnes of the Toronto Raptors. Barnes was somebody that was tough for me to rank because I think I was like, all right, I either want to have Barnes, Maxey, or Evan Mobley kind of in this spot. But Barnes has been incredible in just year 3. And he's 22 years old right now. He'll be 20, I guess he'll be 27. I think I just even said, did I say 27? Yeah, no. So he'll be 27 at that time. And if you expect the defense to get better, the shots will look even prettier. And he's just shooting 35% from three this year and 48% from the field. And he's averaging 28 and 6. And this is just in year 3 on a very up and down Raptors team this year that's had complete roster turnover. No more Fred VanVleet from last year. They traded Anunoby right before 2024 started in the calendar year. And then they traded Pascal Siakam like 3 weeks later. And his team looks completely different, but he's still showing out. I think Barnes' defense and his well-balanced offensive play will guarantee him a spot in this top 20. I don't think for him, playoff resume will really matter too much. I think he'll be impactful where he's going to be fine as the 18th spot. I mean, if he doesn't make the playoffs each of the next 5 years, maybe that could dock him, but I don't think I would dock him if he didn't make like even a round two appearance. I still think he could be a good enough top 20 guy, but just maybe not good enough as a number two, because probably in this list, when we get down to it, I think maybe the top 12 could be a number one on a championship team. Maybe at that time. So coming in at number 17, we got Jaylen Brown, which is kind of fitting because he's somebody that's always pretty much been a number two in his career. Either he was behind like Isaiah Thomas in 2017. Nah, he was more than a number two when he was a rookie. But then obviously with Tatum getting drafted in 2017, he's always been the Robin to Tatum's Batman. And Jaylen Brown is still a really good player. I mean, he's averaging 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists this year, 50% from the field, just under 35% from 3. Still a good two-way player. There's obviously the jokes about like the left-handed stuff, but this dude is already a 3-time All-Star. He's probably going to make the All-Star game, I would think, almost every year till 2029, or at least close to it, because even with Porzingis and Holiday and Derek White, he's still getting his shots and his looks. He played very well against the Knicks the other night as well, or I guess last night, Saturday night, and I think that was the thing holding me back. I honestly have no idea. I mean, with the contract that Boston gave him, and they're going to probably give the Supermax to Tatum, I think Jaylen Brown will still be in Boston in 2029, so still be a number two, so that kind of what held him back from being any higher on this list, but I wish maybe we're going to see, like, I want to see Jaylen Brown as a number one in his prime, and the only way that's maybe going to happen if Tatum gets hurt or sidelined, and you never want to see that, so I don't think it's going to happen in Boston. Yeah, I don't know. I think Brown and Tatum are both going to still be on this team in 2029, so we're never going to see Jaylen Brown really as a number one, which is kind of a shame, because I would wonder what his ceiling would be as a number one option with a team building around him and having complementary pieces around him then. So he came in at number 17. He'd be 32. Then I got Alperen Şengün coming in here at number 16, who's obviously breaking out this year, kind of like Scotty Barnes from the 21 class. I was debating like who I wanted to have higher, Şengün or Barnes, and Şengün's a tad bit younger. He's currently still 21 years old, so he's kind of almost a whole year younger than Scotty Barnes, and he'll be 26 in 2029, and he's kind of like a Jokic light. He honestly has like an even more impressive career trajectory than Jokic has had in his first 3 years, and obviously Jokic was like fighting out minutes with Yusuf Nurkic, and Şengün's been like the full starter most of his sophomore year and obviously this year, but I mean, he's averaging 21 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists over a steal a game, efficient from the field. I mean, if that three-point shot falls and he can get a little bit better from the line, he could be a consistent 25 point per game scorer. And for somebody of his size, his playmaking ability at the five spot and his continuing improvement on the defensive end, I don't think he'll still be like a top five big man defensively then, but I think he could be serviceable enough, is going to be warrant of a top spot on this list. And I wonder where he would be in like center rankings then. I mean, if we look at it here, I have him higher than Chet Holmgren. Obviously I have him higher than what Evan Mobley will be in 2029. There's not that many like centers ahead of him on this list. Like, spoil, I have a like alert, like with Embiid being an honorable mention, not too many centers. So I think he'll be a top five center clearly in 2029. So Şengün was coming in at number 16. Number 15, we are going to have Cade Cunningham. So just another player from that 2021 draft class. Obviously Cade has had very up and downs in his career so far. I mean, the rookie season was inefficient at times, but had an incredible finish. Finished third in rookie of the year voting that year. Then he only played 12 games in his sophomore year before missing the rest of the season due to injury. And this year, he's been a part of one of the worst teams in the NBA. Started off one of the worst teams in NBA history this season on the Detroit Pistons, but he's been incredible. I think he does a lot for not having a lot around him. They traded Bojan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks. This team has had, I guess they've been in the media for all the wrong reasons. Like, Monty Williams has had some really dumb coaching decisions. The players around him haven't been great, but I think Cade has really done a lot with what he's been put around him in Detroit. And Troy Weaver's done a kind of a terrible job since drafting him, building a good cohesive roster around Cade. I still think it has a promising future. I like Ivy. I like Cade, obviously. I like Jalen Duren. They're going to have a top five pick most likely, or a top six in the 24 draft. And I think they do have a promising future, and they can really only go up from here. And Cade is 22 years old. He'll be 27 then. He's just an incredible playmaker. I think he's going to get better and better. Like, the jump shot looks better and better each season, I think, even though it's been hit or miss. But when he's not forced to have to do so much for as such a young guy, I think he'll be fine, and he'll be, like, in the start of his prime in 2029. So this next up guy is somebody that I thought was a little bit tougher to rank, just because he's a number two right now. You can even say at times he's, like, a number three. And that's J-Dub Jalen Williams of the OKC Thunder, who in 2029 will be 27 years old. So he's obviously in that 22 draft class with Chet Holmgren, who I did have as an honorable mention. And J-Dub, though, like, he could be on, like, a similar career path that, like, Jaylen Brown did. Like, he'll always be a number two in OKC because it's going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who will be the number one. But J-Dub, as probably the second best player this year on the Thunder, at least offensively, is averaging 19 points, 4 rebounds, 4.5 assists, shooting 54% from the field and 45% from three, and basically 80% from the line. And he's a good defender. He's a good defender, man. He's still just 22 years old because obviously he's a sophomore right now. He was a little bit older coming out of Santa Clara. But sometimes with those older guys that have, like, good rookie years, it's because, all right, they were definitely more NBA ready than their peers. We saw it with Chris Duarte in 21. He didn't really work out. We ended up seeing it with Jaime Jaquez this year. I think Jaime Jaquez is going to be good for a little bit. But J-Dub was good in his rookie year, and he's been even better this year. So just seeing that improvement year over year and just his overall game, that he's, like, kind of like a multi-tool, like, elite player. I think he's going to be an all-star in 2029. It would be cool to see J-Dub end up having his own team as the number one. Like I said, it's not going to happen in OKC with Shai Gilgeous there, but J-Dub is really good. He's efficient, and he's going to come in pretty high on this list. Coming in at number, I had him at 14, and higher than Chet Holmgren, which is a hot take. Maybe you guys can let me know that in the comments. Coming in at 13, we have De'Aaron Fox, who maybe I have a little high. Like, will De'Aaron Fox be the 13th best player in the NBA? Seems like kind of high praise. Will he lead the Kings ever to, like, a conference finals appearance as, like, the number one? Because the way this roster is built, Sabonis, I don't think, is going anywhere. Fox isn't going anywhere. So I don't think they'll ever have an opportunity to add somebody better than De'Aaron Fox. So maybe they add somebody better than Sabonis or slightly worse than him. But it's always going to be Fox, I think, is the number one option until 2029. So I think he will need to lead this team in the playoffs a little bit further. I mean, he helped lead them to a playoff spot last year as a 3 seed. We'll see how they look this year. They didn't get too much better as the West did get better. And it is wide open. Who knows? Like, maybe he plays very well in the playoffs. But, I mean, Fox is one of the best point guards in the league. 27 points, 5.5 assists, 47 from the field this year. His three-point shot has looked so much better, 37.5%. It's funny, though, his free throw shooting has not gone better. But he's a good defender. He's obviously one of the quickest guys in the NBA. And he'll still be fairly young. Like, he'll be 31. So he's maybe going to be, like, a dropping 13. But still 31's young. So coming into number 12, he had a game winner against the Detroit Pistons. I believe still last night. Yep. Paolo Banchero. So he was the number one pick in the 2022 class. I mentioned Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams from that class in this video. So we do have, like, obviously the last guy from that class. I don't have, like, a Jaden Ivey, or I don't have a Keegan Murray or Jalen Duren higher. But Paolo Banchero is just 21 years old, so he'll be 26. He was an all-star this year as a 6'10 power forward that has an incredible handle. He's averaging 23 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists this year, shooting 45.5% from the field, 36% from three, and is an impactor on one of the better defensive teams in the Eastern Conference this season. He won Rookie of the Year last year. Like I said, he was an all-star this year. There's a chance he's an all-star starter in 2029, and this may be a little bit low to have him kind of a 12. But he'll be 26, and it's a deep league, it is. But I think at his peak, Banchero will be a top 10 player in the NBA. Coming at 11, I guess the guy that has, like a lot of question marks is Ja Morant. I mean, I'm sure the off-the-court stuff is behind him. Obviously, the injury this year kind of sucked. Like, it was cool to see Ja Morant back on the floor, but he's going to miss the whole season with a shoulder injury. He had shoulder surgery, and it's going to be a little bit tough for him to probably bounce back really quickly next year. So next year can be, like, a rehab year for, like, maybe the first half of it. And then we'll probably be, like, old Ja. In the second half, he won Most Improved Player in 2022. He's made 2 All-Star games in his career. He won Rookie of the Year. He's got a great resume. I mean, he averaged basically 26 points and 8 assists over the last 3 seasons, and he's still going to be young. He's going to be 29 years old, and the Grizzlies are continuing to build around him with guys like Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Marcus Smart. They're going to have a top 10 pick in this draft. I'm excited to see what they do this offseason. I think Ja Morant will still be one of the best players in the NBA in 5 years from now, as long as he's got all the off-the-court stuff figured out, which I think he will. So coming in at number 10, we have Tyrese Haliburton, who is 28 years old. I've been calling him the modern-day Steve Nash as of late. I don't know if people like that, just because of how good of a facilitator he is and how efficient he is. That was, like, a underrated thing of Steve Nash's career is how efficient he really was. Like, he was like a 50-40-90 guy at times. And I would have just loved to see Nash, like, say, screw it, I'm not going to pass as much. I just want to be the number one. But that's not how he excelled. But Haliburton is probably the best facilitating point guard in the league this year. He definitely is. And I think, like, outside of maybe, like, Jokic, maybe the best passer in the NBA, Haliburton's averaging 22 points, 4 rebounds, just under 12 assists this season as a 23-year-old. He'll be 28 in 5 years. He's shooting already 49% from the field, 40% from three, 85% from the line. There's a chance that Haliburton has, like, a 25-12 season, 25 points and 12 assists, maybe tagging along 4-5 rebounds, and could be 50-40-90. That is not impossible. And that is, like, an MVP caliber season. And I would not be surprised if Haliburton won an MVP within the next 5 years. So he's coming in at number 10. I had to have him there. So I guess what brought these guys back a little bit, that, like, coming in at the next two spots, I guess will be their age. So coming in at number 9, we have Donovan Mitchell. Should Donovan Mitchell be this high at 32 then? I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Like, I think not everybody's going to age like Steph, KD, and LeBron have. Like, obviously, LeBron is in its own stratosphere of being able to age well. I mean, science and medicine and recovery time is as advanced as it's ever been, and it's only going to continue to get more advanced. So these guys still may be all NBA caliber players at 37 years old, and that's the norm. They're not going to be regressing at 33, 34, 35 that we've seen with guys in the past. Obviously, that's injuries aside, like major injuries. But Mitchell will be 32. I have him at 9. He's a top 10 player in the NBA this year. And with guys fizzling out, so, like, I didn't have LeBron, didn't have Kawhi, didn't have Curry, there's no Paul George, none of those guys I have here. So Mitchell's going to go up. I think he'll probably peak. He could peak at number 5 at one point if he wins a championship. If he brought a championship to Cleveland this year, we'd say he's maybe the 6th best player in the NBA. Or maybe he surpasses Jason Tatum, right? But for now, Mitchell, I mean, he's averaging 28 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. This is a typical Donovan Mitchell season. He's been efficient. He's been better on defense. And he helped the Cavs to be afloat when they didn't have Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. And this, I don't know where he's going to be in 2029. Will it be Cleveland? I don't know. But either way, I think he should be a top 10 player, or at least in that conversation. Somebody I have just one spot ahead of him is Devin Booker, coming in at number 8. I originally had these guys at 7 and 8 in the YouTube video, and the person I had at 9, everybody was like, Matt, he may already be the 9th best player. Like, he's young still. So I have him one spot ahead of Booker, who I'll get to in a second. But Devin Booker coming in at number 8. He'll be 32 as well. So he'll be pretty much the same age as Mitchell, which is funny because Booker was a 2015 class. Mitchell, 2017. Obviously makes sense for how long they stayed at college, and they're different there. But they'll both be probably still up there in the shooting guard conversation. I have them both as top 10 players. Booker will be a number 1 again because I don't think KD will be in the league. We say think in 5 years from now. So Booker will probably be the number 1 again if it's in Phoenix. And he's averaged 27.5 points this season, 7 assists as a point guard, really efficient. And when he cares, he's a good defender. So I have him at number 8, one spot ahead of Mitchell. That's always going to cause some debate. So coming in at number 7, I had him at 9, and you guys were like, Matt, this is way too low. So I was like, you know what? I think I can agree with this. It's going to be Anthony Edwards. I didn't want to be like, all right, Anthony Edwards is, I don't know. Obviously, he's so good in the playoffs last year, in a playoff series L against the Denver Nuggets. So I think Anthony Edwards will be one of the best playoff performers we see in the NBA. I mean, he'll be 27 years old at number 7 here. He's averaging 26 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists this year, shooting 47% from the field, 38% from 3, 83% from line. He could flirt with a 50-40-90 season as well. He's a good defender when it matters, and Anthony Edwards could be one of the best players in the NBA. So with the age, he'll be the number 1 in Minnesota. He's coming in at number 7. The next two spots were tough because they're the oldest players on this list. Giannis is coming in at number 6 at 34. I wonder how Giannis's game will age just because he does rely a lot on his physicality, his length, and his feel for the game kind of inside as one of the biggest players of all time. I mean, he's 6'11". He's got a crazy wingspan. Will that age fine? We'll see. He's averaging 30 points, 11 rebounds, and 6.5 assists as a 29-year-old. I still think he'll be very effective as a 34-year-old. Will he need to maybe have a more improved jumper by then? I would hope so. Will he develop one? I don't know. I think it's a little conservative to have him here at number 6, but I think the way we've seen guys like KD, LeBron, and Curry still be in the top 10, and when they're in their mid-30s and beyond, I feel like I had to still respect what Giannis is going to be In 5 years at 34 years old. So coming in one spot ahead of him, he'll be a year younger. It's Nikola Jokic, who will be 33. I think Jokic's game has to age a little easier than Giannis's just because he doesn't rely on his athleticism that much. He relies mainly on his ability to slow down the game, play the way he wants to play. Like, Jokic's basketball IQ will still be there in 5 years. His passing ability will still be there. His inside touch will still be there. And his ability to be efficient around the rim and hit dumb-looking threes will still be there. His game is going to age great. It's just him at 33. I have him a little bit lower, but that might be mean. I should probably have him maybe top three. That would be funny. Or that would be probably not funny. Probably maybe more suitable. I think that's like what can cause some debate as well. So coming in at number four, I have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's going to be at least top three in MVP this year. Will he beat out Jokic or Luka? That will still be determined. Like, we're still going to see if that's going to happen this year. But Shai will be 30 years old. So he'll be 3 years younger than Jokic. Will he have a title by then? Possibly. I mean, the Thunder still have a great future. There's a chance he does. He's averaging 31 points, 6.5 assists, and 5.5 rebounds as a 25-year-old on really good efficiency. 55% from the field, which is insane. 37% from three and 88% from the line. If he won MVP, I can't really deny it. I think I'd be okay with it. So I have him that high. He's a solid defender, and I'm excited to see how good he's going to be in 5 years when he's probably the middle of his prime. So I have him at number four. Number three, I got Jason Tatum, who will be 19, not doing the joke again. He'll be 30 years old, so he'll be the same age as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's already been to an NBA Finals. He's been to multiple conference finals, five-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA. He will be, I don't think he's going to be in the MVP convo this year, but there's probably like a great chance he finishes top seven in voting, 27 points, 8.5 rebounds, 5 assists. He could win a ring this year. He could have multiple rings by 2029. We will have to wait and see. But Tatum, just a two-way athlete coming in at number three, two-way player. Coming in at number two for the first time ever, like whenever I do like top 25s, under 25, best player in 5, 10 years, it's always Luka Doncic. And I have him here at two, because I'm kind of slurping the juice of the number one guy. So coming in at number two is Luka, who will be 29 years old. Still under 30. He's 24. His birthday is in like 3 days now, so he's going to be 25 soon. He's averaging 34 points, 8.5 rebounds, 9.5 assists, shooting 49% from the field, 38% from three, and 78% from the line. An absolute incredible season from Luka this year. It's kind of wild what he's done. I know there's a lot to be desired on the defense, like left to be desired on the defensive side of the ball. He's still the probably best playmaking player that's not Nikola Jokic in the league right now. And just what he does as an elevator, he's going to be number two. Because at number one, I'm slurping the Wemby juice. I got Wemby coming in number one. If you have Luka 1, Wemby 2, I'm perfectly fine with that. It's just that Wemby is going to be 25. He's 20 right now, and he's having like 5x5 games. Like, he had at least 5 points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals, and he just almost missed it as well when he had 4 assists the other night. And then he got it again the next night against the Lakers. He's averaging 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, shooting 47% from the field as a 20-year-old. Oh yeah, and leading the league in blocks with 3.3. He's probably going to have multiple DPOYs in the next 5 years, multiple All-NBA first team or second team finishes. He's probably going to be an All-Star every year of his career outside of his rookie year, and I have him in at number one. We'll see if the Spurs are a finals contender in 5 years. How will that team look? Who will they add around him? And who will be kind of the number two to him? So that is going to be it. That's me ranking the top 30 players in the NBA in 5 years from now. Top 20 players. Had a lot of honorable mentions. If you guys did enjoy on YouTube, I'd appreciate you dropping a thumbs up. Let me know in the comments what you guys think. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I'd appreciate a rating and review over there. And you're following so you guys can get kind of alerted when I have my next podcast coming out. And I'll catch you guys in that one. Peace.